Begin the current daven, start the site, daf hey. Begin 3 lines down from the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, it was introduced that, which is the main topic of this Mesech, regarding the site, regarding having relations with a married woman, that someone that is a gas ruach, someone that's haughty, someone that's arrogant, is like having a relations with a married woman. So therefore, our Gemara continues at great length and discusses the mida maguna of gaiva, and the opposite, that of the Midah Vanava. Now, parenthetically, this daf might be the most important daf in Shas in regards to Agadita. As the Ramban says in his famous letter, that a Midah Taivim, Mikol Midas Taivais, the greatest Midah, and there's many Midas there in the world in creation, is the Midah of Anava, the attribute of Anava. And as we find elsewhere, Chazal tell us that the Midah of Hashem's Gedula is Shem Atamaitza on the Besinusai. The Midah of Anava defines, as the Maral says, Atzmiyusai. It's the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness more than any other Midah that we find. And as the Stipler says, that someone that has the Midah of Anava, he has no sveikis, he has no worries, he's just totally being. And actually, we had a Chabura learning the Maral Nesiv Anava, which most of that Nesiv Anava is based on this daf, which took us a year to learn. So we're not going to be able to define all of the parameters on this daf, but maybe that's not in Daf HaChaim, that will be in the Eitz HaChaim. But this is a Midah that is mismarketed, and it's something that people look at the Midah of Anava in a way of the superficial and don't realize the significance of the depth. And as we peel away layers of, as the Gemara is going to define, the Midah of Gaiva, we're going to see how that rips away everything of who we can be, and therefore the ultimate Midah of truthfulness, of Emes, which is Chaysamash HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, which is the Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Anava, is what we are naturally like, as children are, and which we aspire to be like. And therefore, we continue with the Gemara. As the Gemara says, Azhar L'Gas Yaruach, the warning, the prohibition not to be a gas ruach, which means on some level that it's ruach is a person's drive, his spirit, what a person wants to accomplish. And gas means inflated. Where do we find, as the Gemara says, minayin, that, as the terminology of the morale is, a teisefesh in a row, which is an add-on that's not fit to be. A person has certain limitations and he's not happy being who he is. He wants to be bigger than that. From where do we find that's a prohibition, that's the problem with a person that tries to be bigger than who he is, which commonly usage words are ego, but this is much more than that. Where do we find that's forbidden? So Amar Rava Amar Zeiri says, quoting a pasuk in Yirmiyah, says, Shimu v'hazinu, listen and pay attention. Al tig bohu, don't make yourself larger. Don't inflate yourself. So that's a clear-cut azara, not to be a gas ruach. Now, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amochi says you could even actually infer it from a pasuk in the Torah, which is a pasuk in the Devarim. Says, "V'ram levavecha v'shachachta," that your heart will become inflated and you will forget. So what we see from this is that obviously that becoming inflated, considering oneself to be more than what you are, causes a person to forget, which is that he forgets his creator, which on some level, the creator of this world is Havaya, which is the name of Hashem, which is the essence of who he is. And Havaya essentially means being. He is the being of everything. And when a person is a Baal Gaiva, he's anything but being. He's actually doing everything to be anything but who he really is, because he's not happy being that. Now, so that is what the Gemara says, as regards to that forgetfulness, which is the ultimate purpose of the whole world, which is to be all that you are. So that is something that happens when you're Baal Gaiva, that you forget that. You forget Hashem. Now the pasuk says earlier, says, now you should safeguard for yourself, lest you forget Hashem, your God. Now, that the Amr of an Amr Allah, he says, wherever you use the terminology in the Torah of safeguard, or maybe, or don't, it connotes a negative prohibition. So since it says that one is not, we use the term Hishamar and pen, not to forget Hashem. Now, what causes forgetting Hashem is the Baal Gaiva. It's someone that feels that much insecure that he has to even deny his creator. He can't be on the receiving end, which is a person that denies the limitation, who is trying to be bigger than who really is. is somebody that violates the Isra of Yishom Lecham Petishkach as Hashem Lekecha. Continuing on this theme, Darish Rav Avira. Now, Zimnin Amala Mishmei de Ravasi, sometimes he would say in the name of Ravasi, Zimnin Amala Mishmei de Ravami, sometimes he would say it over in the name of Ravami. The following idea, Kol Adam Sheyesh Begas Ruach, any person that has inside of him, again, which is loosely translated as haughty, but on some level it means to say that his drive is larger than who he really is. He's denying who his part is. He wants to be bigger, whether it be in wealth or in honor or even in Torah learning, whatever it is. So, L'seif Mismait. Ultimately, such a person will be diminished from his chashivas, what he really is, even that he's going to be losing. Shanem, like it says in Pasuk in Iyov, says, Rumai, when his elevation is ma'at, is a little, meaning since a person elevates himself, he actually gets diminished. So not only are you not increasing your value, you're actually decreasing your value. You're not only losing when you're trying to be more than who you are, not only not becoming more than who you are, you're actually becoming less than who you are. Now, continues the Gemara, B'shem etem yeshem b'olam, and now maybe you're going to say, okay, fine. So qualitatively, quantitatively, you're losing your significance when you're trying to be more than what you are. You're not doing a good job in that, so you're not only not being that, you're not even being you, but you would think, so at least, but you are sustaining yourself. You're running at a decreased optimum life. Tamalema, that's a pasuk, teaches over there that no, ve'einenu, that he's not. As the Maral says in the Siv Anova, the terminology that's brought elsewhere, kol yeser kenotel dame, whatever is more than, it's like it's not there. Which is, if you wanted to enjoy yourself and you ate some ice cream, when you ate those two tubs of ice cream, you're actually more nauseous and less in a state of delight than you were before. So when you overdo it, it's not only that you don't get that, you lose everything and you're worse off. And that's the same thing with the Balgaiva. The same person that has to try to make himself more than what he is, that person, not only does he get diminished, but he actually is a nenu. It's like he's not there. And he's actually not experiencing his own life. Now, however, says Rav Avira, but if he comes back, which you see from that wording, it's like he comes back, what are you coming back to? He comes back to who he really is. And he accepts his part in this world, in the harmony of this world. So then he gets gathered in his appropriate time, which means say he dies when he was supposed to die. Now, on some level, there's two ways of a person not living their whole life. It could be either quantitative, which is what we're discussing over here, or qualitative. And both of them we find in the Balgaiva that he doesn't live out his time. He doesn't experience his own life, whether because he's trying to be other things, but he's not that, and neither is he his own thing. So that the Gemara says that if he comes back, if he accepts his piece of the puzzle, his piece of the pie, then he dies in his appropriate time. Means to say, though, that idea that's being conveyed here is that he lives out every single moment. Kavram Avinu, like Avram Avinu. Shnema, like it says there in that pasuk, Bohumchu, which means to say that if someone comes back and he becomes an anav, which means to say that he lowers himself, then kekoil, and again this is how the Gemara is interpreting homiletically this pasuk, then he becomes like those who say about them that they are koil, they are everything. Yikfotsun, that's how this person is going to pass on, transfer from this world. In other words, he's going to die the death of the upstanding ones, which means, as the Gemara explains, Kavram Yitzchak V'Yakov, which means to say such a person that accepts his peace will then live the life and pass over from this life, like our Avos Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Dechsiv, who we find the terminology of Kol by all three of them, Bakoil, Mikoil, and Koil. Avram Avinu, we have the Pasuk, says, Vashem Berech has Avram Bakoil. Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Yitzchak, it says by him, V'oichel Mikol, that he ate from Koil, from all of it. And Yaakov, it says by him, Kichanani Lekim, and he tells Esav, he says, because God favored me, V'chiyesh Likol, that I have everything. Again, that's the idea that's being conveyed over here, that the Midav Anava, in contrast to Gaiva, is that I have everything. Whatever it is that I'm experiencing is as it should be. And that's what the Avos are conveying by the idea of Koil. It means to say, sucking the marrow out of life, getting every little bit out of you, what your existence is. That's Koil. That's getting every single moment, which is what we find. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's what happens if the person comes back. In contrast to Esav, who says, when Yaakov said, Yeshli Koil, he says, Yeshli Rav, I have what? More? I have, what do you mean more? More is relative. You're just comparing yourself to other people. All your entire striving in life is just to try to be more than what you really are. Now continues the Gemara. It says, a Rav Avira, Vim Lav. But if the person doesn't come back to who he still tries to be bigger than who he is, tries to go beyond his limitations, then the pasuk concludes over there, "Ucharosh shibaylis yimalu," like the top of a stalk, he will be cut down, he will crumble, which the Gemara explains in my Ucharosh shibaylis. So Rav Huna and Rav Chisda have two different interpretations from Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Chadamar, ki sasa d'shibalta. One says that the reference over here is talking about what's on the top, the height of the stalk, has this type of like a beard, which is this thin type of growth on the top, which that breaks very easily and falls off. That's the reference, what we're saying, that he's like that, and which we see that that doesn't really have any significance. It's all show, which is exactly what happens, what the Baal Gaiva is. He's trying to show, look at me, look how tall I am, look how great I am, but there's no significance over there. That's not what's important. What's important is in the Shibaylis itself. Now, Vacharam, the other Mandama, actually says, Kishibaylis Atzma, that when it says that like the top of the stalk is going to be cut down, it actually means the stalk itself, the tall stalk. Now, so the Gemara explains. Bishlem elamandama kisasa d'shibel, according to the one that says it's a reference to the beard that sticks out on the top of the stalk, just like that crumbles easily, that's a reference to the Baal Gaiva. So that's what it means, like the top of the stalk, which is a reference to that beard that's there on the top, again, a reference to the Baal Gaiva, who's showing things to be bigger than what he is. So that's the part that he's going to be cut down. Elamandama kishibolta atzma, but according to the one that says that he's going to be cut down like the stalk itself, my ucharoi shibaylis. Why is it referencing like the top of the stalk if it's a reference to the stalk itself? So Amr Vasir Vasi says that Mechain Tana de Rebbe Shmuel, so too is taught in the Brayse of the Yeshiva Rebbe Shmuel. What it's saying in regards to the Baal Gaiva is Mashal Adam. This can be compared to a man Shenichnis Latech Sadeu that goes into his field. Gavoya Gavoya Humalakit. When he's starting to reap, to cut, he cuts those that are the highest. That's what he reaps. Now, the Baal Gaiva is somebody that his growth is not horizontal, it's vertical. In contrast to someone that's really great, his growth is horizontal. He expands outward, as we find many times by Avraham Avinu, like we just said, he's Bakoil, Hey Anav, Hey Chassid, that is two sides of the coin are Anava and Chassid, which means to say a person wants to be all that he is, which is what Anava really is. So if you want to be bigger, that's chesed. That means to say you is bigger. You're including other people. Your growth is horizontal. Not so the Baal Gaiva, where his whole growth, again, what you call growth, is intentionality to be sticking out higher than everybody else. So yes, it's not necessarily just the sas of the shebelt of the beard. It's actually his shebelt itself, his growth, which is the shebelt itself, is just to stick out, to stand out. Now, if you're doing that, then actually that you lose the maila of the klal, of being part of everybody, being part of the world, which is the purpose of the world that Hashem made it, at putting all the pieces together of havaya, of existence together and manifesting that way. So the person that you wanted to stick out, so that's exactly what happens. You're the first one to be cut down exactly because you wanted to stick out and to be different from everyone else. That is how you consider yourself as a form of growth. And the Gemara continues on this theme, quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya. Pasuk there is in Perek Nun Zayin, pasuk Tazvav, which begins, Ki choy omar ram v'nisa, because so says the one who is exalted and uplifted, Sheikh Anad, the one who lives forever, v'kadosh shemayin, his name is holiness, morim v'kadosh eshkan, Hashem says that elevated and holy I will dwell. Now continues the pasuk, v'ezdaka u'shval ruach, and who else am I going to dwell with? The downtrodden and the lowly one of spirit. Now, the reason for this is because the concept of the creation of the world, as Maral says, comes from Ila and Ol, which is that everything works in a way of cause and effect, or from giver and receiver. Now, the Anav, and he's essentially a Makabal. He's someone that says that he realizes his deficiencies. And that's where people take the mistaken notion of thinking that Anav is all about having your head down and being degraded. That's not what it's about. But it's realizing your limitations and be willing to receive from other people. So the one that's the most willing to receive is the Anav. And therefore, as Maral says, that those that are similar, they're the ones that you find together. That's the Pshitas Hagomer, meaning you're being as manifest and as you see, what you see is what you get, is what the Anav is. I realize my limitations. I know my potential too. I know my greatness too. But I want to be able to be all that I can be, and I realize that it's all coming from Hashem. So the Ela finds himself with the Ul, the one who's willing to receive. I want to give. Who's willing to get? The Anav says, Hashem, I realize it's all from you. So therefore, that's one relationship, and therefore Hashem is with the Tzedakah and Shval Ruach. But moreover, almost in the, coming from a different angle, is that the Maharal says is that actually they share the common characteristic of being Pashut. Hashem is what he is, which is everything, and the person realizes he is what he is, which is just a clay kibbutz which receives Hashem's kindness. And that's why, two different angles, is why Hashem is with the Tzedakah and Shval Ruach. But Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, there's two different interpretations in how they manifest in this interpretation of the pasuk from Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Chadama, one of them says that iti daka, which is, okay, so if Hashem is with the Shval Ruach, but Hashem is everything, and the Shval Ruach is not nothing in that way, but he's the other end of the spectrum, so when Hashem is with him, who goes to who? So one mandama says that Hashem elevates the Shval Ruach until he comes till Hashem. That's what it means, Eshkenes Daka, that I'm going to be with the Daka, because Hashem lifts up that person to greatness. Charam, actually, the other mandama says, no, Ani es Daka. Hashem says, I will lower my divine presence and bring it all the way down to the one that's on the bottom. Now, says the Gemara, Mistaber Kamandam Ani es Daka. It's actually logical to say, like the one who says that Hashem doesn't bring the Shval Ruach up to him, he goes down to the Shval Ruach. And the reason is, Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aniach Kol Har Megvos, as we find in history, that's what Hashem did. He left all the mountains and all the hills, the Hishr Shechinah, Al Har Sinai, where did he place his divine presence when he gave the Torah to the Jewish people? On Mount Sinai. V'loi Gava Har Sinai L'mal, he didn't elevate Har Sinai to be a huge mountain, he kept it as it is. Which is, as some of Hashem wanted to say, that Har Sinai was a mountain, it wasn't a valley, it had greatness. But it realized its limitations, what it is, and it kept itself low. And Hashem wants to keep it that way. Hashem doesn't want it to become great. Hashem actually, to the contrary, brings himself down to the Shval Ruach. Continuing on this theme, Amar Yosef says, La'olam yilmat odam midas kainah. A person should always learn from the characteristics of his creator, which that's what the whole Sefer Tamid Devar is based on. And in this context is to learn to love the people of hump of humility, of lowness in their regard, which is Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niach Kol Har Megvos. As we just said before, HaKadosh Baruch Hu left all the mountains, all the hills, which is Har Tavor and Har Carmel, which they all came there. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, that Hashem says, Lama Taratzun Har Megabnunim. Why are you all dancing? Why are you all coming? You think you're going to get the Torah brought on you? Hashem did not give the Torah on these great mountains. Rather, the Hishr Shechinah al Har Sinai, he rested his divine presence on Har Sinai. And so too, as it's written in the parentheses, V'nich kol ilonis tavis. He also left all the great trees. The Hishr Shechinah al Sinai, when he came to show himself to Moshe Rabbeinu the first time, he showed it in a sneh, that of a thorn bush, which again, it's not about trying to be what the greater that you are. It's actually when you're able to realize the place where you are, that's what's called this nimuchus, which is illustrated here in the idea of Har Sinai, again, of Hashem coming down to the nimuchus. A person should also like that and appreciate that, someone that's willing to be vulnerable, to be showing that he's not everything and being the biggest that's around. Amr Belazar Belazar says, Kol Odom Sheyesh Begasis Ruach, anybody that has this Gasis Ruach, again, this being more than what you are, Ro legadur kasher, he's fit to be cut down like an asherah. An asherah is a type of a tree that served as an idol, which the word gadeya has a strong connotation of being not just chopped down, but actually going and uprooting the entire roots, which is the halacha that applies to an asherah, whereas the pasuk says, Debram yud beiz, v'yiv badetem eshmam, you have to totally obliterate and annihilate that. You have to get to the root of that tree and totally rip it out. So that's exactly what happens to someone that has inside of him Gasas Ruach. And the proof of this is because Ksiv HaKha, here it says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, says, the Rami HaKayim HaGeduim, that those who are elevated of height, meaning that they're making themselves out to stick out, they're Geduim. Now, Ksiv HaSim, it says over there in Devarim, V'ashireim Tegadeyun, that their Asherah trees have to have this Gedua, which again, as we said before, is totally uprooted. Now, there's an added dimension of depth over here, as the Maharal says, that Ha'odim is Ke'etz HaSad, a person is like a tree of the field. Now, just like the concept of Avodah Zarah is an idea of Zar, of foreign, it doesn't belong over here, it doesn't relate to the growth, the same thing applies to the growth of the earth, which is when you have something that doesn't belong over there, so it's fit to cut it out, to rip it out, like an Asherah, which is essentially totally a lie, which is essentially what the Bhagavad is, where he's whatever he's showing him to be, it's exactly what he's not. That's exactly what he's showing. Now, so therefore, just like weeds is a growth, so essentially that's what it seems like this tree is, but it's totally lies, and it's actually what weeds do is actually causes harm for whatever is growing around it. That's exactly what an Asherah is spiritually. That's exactly what a Bhagavad is emotionally. This is exactly what weeds are botanically, organically. That's exactly what it is. And therefore, you have to uproot it because it's actually not growth. It's actually all heder. It's all chisaron. That's exactly what the Bhagavad is. Now, V'amr Belaza, also Reb Elazar says, Kal adam shiish begas ruach, any person that has gas ruach, ein afori niner, which literally means to say that his earth doesn't get turned over, meaning to say that he doesn't arise for tchis ha-mesim, for the resuscitation of the dead in the times of the future. Shnam, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says hakitzu v'rjanenu, that awake and sing sheikh ne'afer, those of you who dwell in the earth. Now says Reb Elazar, sheikh ve'be'afer leinem. It doesn't say those of you who lay in the earth, which would sound like anyone who's dead will get up. Rather, ela sheikh ne'afer. It says the one who dwells in the earth. Now, the significance over here of earth has many connotations, but one of them being is that the earth is the great equalizer, which means to say everything comes from the earth. That's where all growth comes from, and that's where the roots are. Now, so therefore, we're talking about someone that has roots. Roots means to say that your growth is coming from who you really are, from the seed. If your growth is coming like weeds, not from who you are, then that's not growth. That's totally destroying. So that's what Reb Elazar says. In one context is Misha Nasa Shachin La Offer Bechayiv. It says Sheikh Ni Offer, which is also related to the word Shachin, someone that was resting or a neighbor for the earth when he was still alive, which means to say when he was alive he made himself humble down to the earth, which again on earth is someone that receives and accepts and is willing to grow from what people tell him, not like a stone which is not willing to hear anything. That's who the Baal Anav is. That's who merits to have Tchis HaMesim, because there's something, there's a root there that could regenerate. But a Baal Gaiva has nothing there. He fails to exist. He never existed in who he really was. He was totally weeds, and therefore there's nothing to create a Tchis HaMesim from the offer. Another teaching from V'Amr Belazar, he says, Kol Adam Shish Begas Ruach, any person that has Gas Ruach, Shechina Miyalelis Alav, the Divine Presence actually cries over him, which again, as the Maral proves, that crying, which can be understood on an emotional level too, in this world, is when things are totally in disarray, which you find in the word bechi, which is from mevucha, you find it in dema, dimua, you find that things are totally out of order. That's the what happens with the gas ruach is Hashem has a master plan. He is the conductor, so to speak, of the world. And one guy is not playing his instrument and he's playing a different instrument. He's destroying the whole harmony. The whole symphony is out. And that's why Hashem, so to speak, the Divine Presence, cries. Everything is messed up because this person is not willing to play his part. Hashem, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, which the beginning of that pasuk says, Ki Ram Hashem, because Hashem is lofty, v'shuffle yira, and he sees the downtrodden. Now, that the contrast continues the pasuk, but v'gevaya, the one who is elevated, the one who makes himself bigger, mimerchak, from afar, meaning from even before that his punishment comes to him, many days before, Yeyeda, the Divine Presence, is already crying and broken over this person. As Rashi shows that you see that the word Bayeda al-Manoisav is this idea about a term of brokenness. The Divine Presence is broken over this person. Why are you trying to be someone else? Don't you know who and what you are, and that's what you're supposed to be, and that's the only thing you can be? And that's what the world needs for you to be. And you're trying to be anything but who you are. The Divine Presence cries over such a person. Continues the Gemara, Darsha of Avira. The Itaim, and some say Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar says that, Boi re'eh, come and see. Shloi kemidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu midus basar adam. The attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that of flesh and blood of regular humans. Whereas midus basar adam gevoy re'sa gevoya, by people, someone that's high status sees another person of high status, meaning someone that's great like him. Now, this term of Raya, Rashi says, doesn't just mean to see, it also means to be closely associated to and to want to relate to. Now, this could be understood, obviously, because a person's associations, he sees as projections of who himself is. And he needs that other person that's his same status for his own status. Now, but ve'en gavai ro'es ha'shafel, but a person of elevated status doesn't see a downtrodden. It would diminish from his stature. Avamidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't the king, but the attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. To the contrary, hu gavaya v'ro'es ha'shafel, he is great, yet he sees the downtrodden. And actually, as we said before, that is what Morel says many times, which has to be translated, which is, again, what took a year for not Daf HaChaim, but for Eitz HaChaim, for that chabur of learning a year, is the translation of what these words mean, which is Pshitas HaGomer, which means to say that he's everything. And everything encompasses not just the Gavoy, it encompasses the Shuffle. As they say, great people see things in the small things. Moreover, is Hashem is the Elah. And the ultimate Olul is the Shuffle. He's the one that's most willing to receive. What makes a great Rebbe? Not just teaching to the class. If he was able to get the weakest student, that's his greatness. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's Royas HaShafel. He's not thinking about himself. And even if that is, again, that the self is defined by the Royas HaShafel, which is what the Yonav is, not the Baal Gaiva. Shnem, like it says in that pasuk that we quoted before, Ki Ram Hashem, because Hashem is lofty, is great, V'Shafel Yira, and he sees, again, as we said, the word Yira connotes also wanting to have a relationship with the one that's downtrodden. Am Rav Chizda, and B'itim, some say it's Marukva, anyone that has this drive to be bigger than what he is, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ein ani v'hu yichayin lod ba'ol." Me and him, we can't dwell together in this world. Shem, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Malashni b'seisere eiru." Someone that uses words in private against his friend, "Oisay atzmus." Him, I will chop down. "Gvayinayim." He's one with haughty eyes. "V'rechav levav," wide heart. With him I can't deal with. Now, Altikri Isa, don't read it him, Eli'itoy le'uchal. Rather, with him I can't coexist. Now, that's the same idea, the inverse of what we said before from the morale, that people that are similar, they're the ones that you find together. He says, Ein hafeichin nimtzu yachad. You don't find people of opposites that can coexist. It's just that it rubs the wrong way in the human terminology. That's the same thing with Hashem. He says, because Hashem is Havaya. Hashem is existence. He is everything. The Baal Gaiva is anything but existing. He's doing anything just not to be who himself is. And therefore, Hashem says that we can't coexist together. This person essentially is what the Gemara says elsewhere, Shuram, Afel Bachayim, the Kermesim, he actually doesn't coexist with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not part of this world. Now, Ikedimasni Law, there are those who actually define this consequence of this pasuk, Amasapri Lashon Hara, are those who say Lashon Hara, slander other people, and that's because of the beginning of the pasuk. Shnem, like it says, Malashni Basesar Eyu, the one who says Lashon Hara about his friend, in private, Aisei Atzmus, him I will cut down. Which means to say that it can't coexist with the Baal Lashon Hara. Now the truth is that Lashon Hara and Gaiva are two sides of the same coin, which is the same thing that Anav and Chesed are two sides of the same coin. If you feel good about yourself, if you accept your part, then you want to be as big as you can, but your growth is horizontal. It's through Chesed. It's through encompassing what makes a great person great. What's a real Gadol is someone that feels another pain as his own. That's what Chesed truly is. Where, again, in contrast to the Baal Gaiva, who is insecure and all he wants and thinks about is himself in an insecure way, that is where he wants to just stick out and stand out. That's what Lashon Hara is. Lashon Hara is knocking down other big stalks because I'm not the biggest anymore. I have to knock other people. It's the opposite of Chesed. So therefore, yes, both of them are really two sides of the same coin in regards to this definition of what Hashem says, Itay le'uchal. I can't coexist with this person because I'm about existence. And that's about Olam Chesed Yibane, is manifesting that existence. And this person, who's the Baal Gaiva, is so insecure, he has to knock other people. That's the opposite of what Hashem is, what this world of Hashem is. Continuing, Amr of Alexandri says, Kal Odim Shiesh Begasis Ruach. Any person that has this Gasis Ruach, Afila Ruach Kim Ekarte. Even a small wind makes him murky, which means, as Rashi says, any small punishment makes him dysregulated. He's totally at a loss. Shanim, like it says, a pasuk in Yeshayah. And again, this is obviously understood in the way we're defining the Baal Gaiva, who is someone that's so insecure and everything, it depends on other people, as the Maharal says, where it's his relationship with his environment. He's not stationary. He's not settled. he's dependent on everyone else's impressions. So Shanim, like it says in Pasuk Yeshaya, it says Varishoyim and the wicked ones, which is a reference to the Gasei Ruach, because the Rashi says the Pasuk previously is talking about by someone that's a shuffle, someone that's is vulnerable. Whereas the Pasuk says Lahachias Ruach Shvalim, so regarding such a person, the Pasuk says Kaloi La'olam Arav, with such a person I will not always contend with those that are shuffle. And then the Pasukim continue and it goes, but now the Pasuk is saying over here, but the wicked people that are not shuffle in Nitka, they're Kiyam Nigrash. They get chased around like the sea does, which the significance of the sea, as Maral says, is that the water elevates itself above the earth. Again, the earth is always something that's settled, it's stationary. And the Baal Gaiva wants to make himself higher than that. So since, as the Maral says, he's not Nach Ba'atzmoy, he's not settled, so he gets chased away, gets knocked around. And actually, moreover, Rashi adds on this point about, so what happens when the sea gets blown around? So the waves actually throw all the garbage and the dirt onto the beach around that. That's exactly what happens with a person that's insecure. It actually causes him to lash out at everyone around him. It's the insecurity, it's the hurt that causes all the anger that he wants to control people around him. That's exactly what happens to the Baal Gaiva. Even a little ruach, kimo, someone says one thing, he could have had 100 people in his lecture that said, wow, great, and one person said this, the whole thing is out the window, because he's like the yam, which is this trying to be bigger, and then even one ruach kimo dysregulates him. As the Gemara illustrates further, if the sea which has so many quarter lugs of water, right, so the sea has much more than that, and still we see that ruach kemo karta, even the small little wind, will already create waves and make the waters turbulent. To get perfectly calm, still waters, that's what people are looking for. One little wind and it's already murky. So adam she'im bo ele revias achas, so a person that only has one quarter lug of blood, which that's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that for a person to sustain his life, he has to have at least a quarter of a log of blood, which is that, and that's why we find regarding Tumas Oyel, where if there's at least a quarter of a log of blood, that's considered the nefesh of a person, his lifeblood. It says, as it says in the pasuk, Al Kol Nafshes Meis Lo Yava, which is a reference to Revi'is Dam, because that's the minimum amount of a person could survive. So Lachas Kama V'Kama, how much blood does he have? It's the minimum is the Revi'is. For sure, a person is going to be this concept where one Ruach Kima is going to make him dysregulate again if he is like the Baal Gaiva, who is like the sea, which is Kayam Nigrash. He's not going to have that happiness that he's looking for because he's dependent on other people. And if one person says one thing, he's already not happy because, again, he's not happy with who he is. He's trying to be bigger. And therefore, if one person points out something that's not good about him, he loses everything. Now, however, Amar Chibar Ashim Arav, he says, Tamu Chacham, a Talmudic scholar, Tzarech sheyehei bo echad mishmoina b'shminas, has to have 1/8 of an eighth of gaiva, which is a small amount. In other words, he has to have a little bit amount of gaiva. And the reason for this is because we don't want the light-headed people to make a mockery out of him. We want that people should look at this person as significant, as sticking out a little bit more than other people, that people should receive what he's saying with force, that they have to listen to him. Now, again, this specifically is by Talmud Chacham, who's someone that knows how to deal with who he really is, and therefore he can attain this small level of being more than what he really is, but as a tool to be able to use that other people will be impressed with who he is. As we find by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although we know the Midah Banava, we find Hashem Malach Geus, there is a concept of Geus, which is to make it more than what it is so that people become impressed. Now, Amrav Hu in the Berid Yerushua, he says that this small amount of gaiva is appropriate and fitting for a Talmudic scholar, u'ma'atru le'kisasa, and it actually adorns him like this, like we said, of this beard, which crowns l'shibelta to the stalk. We said there's a little beard that sticks out on the top, although again, that's nothing of significance, and it's just appearances. But again, it crowns it and it makes it something significant, although it's more than what it really is. There's something to it, and that's exactly what the Talmud Chacham needs to impress his spirituality onto other people. Now, however, Amar Rava says it's a delicate balance. He says, Bishamta de Ispe, he says, someone that has Gasurach, he'll be excommunicated. In other words, that's the worst thing that could happen to a person. Ubishamta de Lespe, However, as we're saying, that it's a dialectic, but if you don't have at least that little amount of gaiva, then you're excommunicated. And the reason being is because then the people of the city are not going to be afraid of him, and he's not going to have any power to rebuke them and to enforce. So, because who are you? You're just like us. So he has to stick out a little bit. So it's that delicate balance about how to have that right small amount of measurement of being more than what he is, again, as a way of enforcing the Torah law. Now, however, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says that no, a person should not desire this gaiva, loy mina v'lo miktsasa, not gaiva, not even a little bit of it. Because he says, mi zutra d'chsiv be, is it a small thing, what the Pasuk says in Mishlei, te'avas Hashem kol gva leiv, that all those who are elevated of the heart, that there it's an abomination to Hashem. And as we know, the word toyeva always connotes something that's yetzim b'seder olam. It's not normative, as we find in other contexts in the Torah. And that's exactly what happens with the Baal Gaiva. With utilizing the mid of Gaiva, it's a perversion of reality. And therefore he says, stay far away. Don't even take a little bit of that Gaiva, again, because it's poison. It's the opposite of life. And therefore, you don't want to have anything to do with that. Now, Amar Chizki says, continuing on this theme of Anova versus Gaiva, says, Ain't tefilasei shel adam nishmas. A person's prayer is not heard. Elam kein mesim libay kibasa. Unless if he makes his heart like flesh, which is soft, and not hard like a stone, which exactly what a Baal Gaiva is, which is makes himself like stone. He's not willing to hear from other people. He's not willing to accept. He's not allowing himself to be vulnerable. But a person that makes his heart like flesh, which is soft, which can be impressed upon, then his tefillos are heard. Again, as we said, this idea where if you're an olal, you're willing to receive, then that Kadosh Baruch Hu could be an elah, he could hear your tefillos, and then he could fulfill what you need. Shalom, like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, says v'hoyu midi chaydish b'chadsha begamah, that it was on every month, yavichalbas l'shtach v'svegamah, that every single flesh should come to prostrate and to daven, which again is this idea that if you are basar, then you could come and daven because then your tefillos are going to be heard. But the gasaruach don't come because there's no point. There's nothing here that you're willing to receive. There's no way of your tefillah being nishmas. Now, Amr Bezer explains, he says, Basar, when we find the pasuk regarding the goyim, it says, Uvasar ki yiyah boi ba'irishchen. It says that if a person is going to have in his flesh a nega of shchin, so it's ksiv bei regarding such a nega, it says a pasuk meyikra v'nirpa, that it could be healed. Now, in contrast, when it uses the term Adam, there's another pasuk that says, Adam kiya ba'or b'sari nega, that if a person will have, a person, it says, will have in his flesh, in his skin, a nega of tzaras kisiya ba'adam, like sivbe. There it doesn't say in any one of those which use the term Adam, v'nirpa. It doesn't say that he'll be healed. And again, that's exactly what we're saying, what we learn from this is because someone that's soft, he's humble, like flesh, so he can be easily healed from his yisurim, from his travails that come on him. But someone that's hard, like earth, which is what the word Adam comes from, Adama, that is no healing for that type of a person. Such a person is not willing and able to accept and to receive and to be healed and to be changed because he's hard. He's closed like a stone. Now, Amar Bi'echin explains that actually both terminologies are talking about a person should realize his limitations. It's just that, as Maral explains, the term Adam, which is the problem where if a person makes himself like an Adam, there's no refuah for him, is what a person has, and Basar is what a person is missing. But even says Rabbi Yechanan, Adam, why is a person called Adam? Because actually it's an acronym for what a person is, but it's Afer. A person is dust, he's Dam, he's blood, and he's Mara and he's Bile, which again, Maral explains that, yes, even what you really are, what your Havaya is, your existence is, even that, which your beginning, a person is from dust, your Iker Havaya, your primary existence is the circulatory system, is blood, and your end is Mara, is Bile, but again, how glamorous is that? Even that is, as Rashi puts it, Hevel. And therefore, how could you be Mizgaya? Even what you are, you're not something too significant. Now, the last one of Mara, which is how a person ends up, is related to the word Merirus, which is a bitter. That's a person's bitter end. But more significantly, in the person's biological functioning, it's that there's the bile that comes out that's bitter, that comes out of the liver. Now, depending on how much that is in the proportion in the person's body, that changes according to the month and the different periods, and there's the hormones are related to this, and according to what a person eats, and through that is what a person's illnesses and pains come. And that's what the doctors use this term, at least in Talmudic times, about Mara Shechayra, Mara Yeroika, there's all these different Mara Aduma. And that's the concept over here. That so these are all the things in regards to what a person is. Now, Basar, that's a term, acronym for what a person is not, which is Busha, the base is Busha, of shame. And again, all these things are realizing what you're not. That's what shame is. Srucha is foul, which is already deteriorating, which is even worse than what you're not, because even what you are is not. It's deteriorating, it's foul. And Rima and Wormi. Now, Ikadami, those that say that instead of using the sin as Srucha, it's actually a reference to Sha'il, meaning the place of Gehenim is his home, the Chsib is sin, because the word Basar is not with a Samach, it's with a sin, and therefore sin and shin could be used together, so they read it as is Busha, Sha'il, and Rima. So again, therefore Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Basar for sure, your Tefillah Sanashmas, but even Adam, what you are, is no great shakes, even that should bring a person to an understanding of Anava. Continue, Amar Ravashi, he says, Kol Adam Shesh Begasaruach, any person that has Gasaruach, L'Saif Nifchas, at the end, he will be diminished from his Chashivas, and he'll be even lower than the rest of the people. Shnei, like it says in the Pasuk, and this is significant, in his Drasha, as the Maral says, as we continue on Talmud Beis, says, V'lasa'esh V'lasa'pachas. Now this is in the Parsha in Bayikra regarding the different types of Nagoyim. There's one of them called Sa'es, and there's another one called Sapachas. But significantly is here, as we'll see in the Drasha, we're comparing a Balgaiva to Tzaras. Now, what's interesting in that is that Tzaras is a Tosefes, is more than, but A, first of all, that's an external increase, not internal, and moreover, it's not a normal thing. It's what's called Yitzim Eseder Oilam. Now that, as anyone know about Tzaras, it's not more. Any teenager that has pimples, oh wow, you're more now. You're not more, you're less. The pimples are making it worse for you. See, that's exactly what happens to the Balgaiva. What you're trying to be more, you're trying to bring back too many dishes from the dining room table. Not only did you not bring back what you should have, now all of them broke and you didn't bring anything back. That's the significance of what we're comparing to the Balgaiva, or utilizing the Midah of Gaiva, regarding and the common usage of arrogance only gets one slice of what the essence of the Balgaiva, which doesn't even tap into that, because that's only understood in the interpersonal way. Balgaiva is more than what he's denying his limitations. And that's related to Tzaras. Now, that the Gemara explains, how do we see the relationship of Gaiva to Tzaras? Because Ve'ein Se'es El Loshen Gevaya. Although in the simple translation, it's one of the types of Negayim, but the word Se'es is a word of increasing, of inflating. Shnei, like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Val Kol HaHar Maram, and all the elevated mountains, Val Kol HaGvayis HaNisayis, and all the inflated, all the heightened hills. So which what we're saying over here is that by a person making himself bigger than, that's how he comes to Sapachas. Now, what is Sapachas? Bein Sapachas Eila Tfela. So that means to say that you become secondary. Now, what you wanted to stick out, you actually now become dependent on other people, which we obviously understand on an emotional level, which is what happens to Balgaiva. He's totally dependent on other people, which is what the Anav is also, but at least he recognizes that. And the Balgaiva is denying that. He's fighting that. And now what actually happens is he's actually more dependent than anybody. Now, moreover, the significance of that is that he wanted to be chashiv. When you become secondary, you lose all chashivus. You rather become dependent on other people. Shnei, like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, sefacheni na, which means to say, please gather me in, attach me to other ones. Now, this, as Rashi explains in the historical context, is in the prophecy of the household of Eli, which is that Hashem was saying that he's going to be bringing other kahanim gedolim from elsewhere, which is not going to come anymore from the household of Eli. And actually that his children are going to have to request from them to be gathered and to be included with them. Al achas hakahunais, to one of the other mishmairis, to one of the other groups in the Kahanim, lechol pas lechem, to eat the loaf of bread. So we see that the word sefacheni of sapachas is a term of being secondary and trying to include yourself to other, That's exactly what happened to the Bhagaiva. So though by trying to make himself bigger then, he actually ends up losing who he really is, and he doesn't attain the Chashivas. Now he becomes more dependent on others for his essential being, for who he is. Now going the other way, Rabbi Shimon ben Levi says, come and see, come and see how great are the humble of spirit considered in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because at the time when the Beis HaMikdash stood, now other makar v'aylav, a person brought a carbon oil, which is a carbon that's totally sacrificed on the Mizbeach, he would have the reward of bringing a carbon oil, and not the reward of any other carbon, just of a carbon oil. Mincha, let's say he brought a flower offering, which each carbon has its own different significance in both the physical and the metaphysical and many different dimensions. Sishar mincha b'yadoi only has the reward of bringing a carbon of a flower offering. And again, as we said, that each one has its parallel in the its bechina, its category in this world. And as the word carbon connotes, it's a word of karva. That's how you bring reality, the world, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is seeing that everything is all part of that unity of who Hashem is. Of a Misha Daita Shefela, but someone that is humble. Now, more of as the morale says, the person, and especially every person views the world, which is the whole world, through his own understanding. So the person really encompasses the whole world. So a person that himself is humble, so the Pasuk considers it as if he brought every single carbon that there is. And the reason being for that is because the whole idea of a carbon is to show that this is nothing. And that's why you're bringing it and you're being mevatalet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When the person makes his own bittel, which again, bittel doesn't mean that you cease to exist. It just says that you see yourself as part of the greater reality. That's what Allah has a bittel are. Bittel means to say that the piece of tree for meat or whatever it was loses its own individual identity, but the piece of meat still exists. You just see it as part of the greater context, and that's what the world is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything, and you want to see yourself as part of that. So when the person is mevatel himself, it's like he brought all the karbanos of the world, because now everything that comes in his reality is seen because of his own humility, not sacrificing that carbon, he's sacrificing himself, again, his own ego. So it's like he brought all the karbanos. And then, like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Zivchei Elikim, which again Rashi says from the word zivchi sounds like it's a reference to all the karbanos, the sacrifices, the karbanos of God, are ruach nishbara, are a broken spirit. Again, which is not to be confused, and it's not for the context over here to discuss in Dafachaim. Again, we said maybe in Eitzachaim or in Samachaim, which again takes years of study, which we have done in Maral, in the Sibas Eilam. It's not yiyush, it's not giving up, it's not feeling like you're nothing. A broken spirit, again, is this idea of understanding that I'm not everything. I'm just a piece. And that's exactly what shever means. It means a broken piece. V'lo'oid, not only that, so again, we see from that pasuk that is all the karbanos of Hashem, but not only that, ela she'in tefilos in the messes, but actually his tefillah is not ever repulsed. And again, that comes back to the idea that Maral said, because the ilah, which is Hashem, which is he's the one that gives everything to the world, goes to the ol, to the one that's willing to receive, which is what the Lev Nishbar is. He says, Hashem, I'm nothing without you. Shnei Malkim says in the Pasuk over there, it says, Lev Nishbar v'nitka, the broken and downtrodden of spirit, Elikim Leisiv, Hashem does not disgrace that type of a person. And therefore, so it's like he brought all the Kabbanas, and his tefillah is never in the messes. And actually, if one looks, you find throughout Tehillim and other places that the tefillah of the Anav is never turned away. And that's because he's actually davening for real. The other people, when they're davening, you're not even davening for real. What you're davening is this made-up life that you created. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, of course I'm Pesach Es Yadi Umaspi L'chol Chai Ratzon, but you're asking for something that you don't even want. That's not even who you are. The only one that Hashem is not Mevazeh His Tefillah is the Anav. Shavas Anim Atasishma. Because the Anav is being real. And Hashem says, of course I'll give you whatever you want, but just ask me for what you really want. If you're being you, I'll give you what you need. Now the Gemara continues with another teaching from Amr Bishub ben Levi. He says, "Kol Hashem or Chesav ba'olam hazeh, whoever evaluates his paths in this world, which means to say that he evaluates the loss that he gets from a mitzvah, but in regard to the correlation, how much he's going to gain in the reward for that mitzvah, zeicha v'roi b'shuasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he merits to see in the salvation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, there's some derech, and he who places his path, I will show him in the salvation of God. So al tikri b'sam, don't read it that he places his path, ela b'sham derech, from the word of sham, which is to evaluate, rather someone that evaluates his path. And that's very apropos for this ending of being an onuf, the Magaiva, because that's what it is. We all struggle with this life of being so limited, and therefore that's where Gaiva kicks in. And if a person could just evaluate and see the pain that he has to be of just being limited with who he is, of the hefsid mitzvah, if he would only realize the great reward, how rewarding it is to be himself, then a person will be raya, zeicha v'raya, b'shu'asa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Gemara continues and resumes discussing our Mishnah from the beginning. We said, Saketzad Mekanla. So we said, regarding the saita, the suspected adulterous woman, which again, as we explained, there's three components. There's kinoi, the husband warnings, don't seclude yourself with that man. The stira, when she secludes. And the tumah, when she gets defiled. So the Mishnah says, how does he warn her? So, chulu etc. Now, actually, there is, in parentheses over here, the Pirush Rashi, which explains, which is anyways important for the context of what the Mishnah says. So the Mishnah said, Amar lo b'fnei shnayim, so if he told her in front of two people, al tadabri imish plainly. So what is the warning? He tells her in front of two people, don't talk with that person. And v'dibri imo, and she did speak to him, which sounds like not in seclusion, she just spoke to him. So that's what the Mishnah says, adayim uteres labesa, so she's still permitted to her house, which is l'shamish besa, which is a term of tashmish, which she's permitted to have cohabitation with her husband. Now, however, the Mishnah then continues and says, but if she was nistra, if she secluded with that man, then asur l'beis, then she's forbidden to her husband, and vasur l'echa b'truma, she's forbidden to partake from truma until she drinks from the seita waters, which, as the Gemara explains later on, daf chav chesam aleph, we learn this from the word v'nitma, which it says three times, which tells you she's considered defiled for her husband, to the boil, the one that she had the illicit relationship with, and for truma. Now the Mishnah continues, v'meis b'lei banim, if the husband dies without any children, before she got a chance to drink from the meisaita, and now she can't drink anymore because the husband has to bring her to drink it, so then Allah is chaletz v'lemes ebemes, she gets chalitza and doesn't get yibim, and the Gemara will explain the reason for that. But first, the Gemara asks, which the Gemara's assumption is, that when it says Amar La, that he tells her, the assumption of the Gemara is that that's coming to explain when the Mishnah had asked, Ketzad Mekanla, how does he warn her? Now, so it says, so it sounds like it's coming to explain what is kinui. He tells her in front of two people, al tadabri imish plani, don't talk with that person. So that's, it sounds like that's what kinui is. And that the Gemara asks, hagu v'kasha. It seems to be a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. Amrit, first you said that what is kinui, what is the warning? Amallah, he tells her b'fnei shnayim in front of two people, al tadabri imish plani, he said, don't talk with this man. So alma dibur stiruhu, so we see that speaking, meaning, even if she's speaking just with this man in the marketplace, that's considered a valid warning, that as if that's considered stira, as if she was secluded with that man. And the fact that the Mishnah is saying that's a valid warning, because if that wouldn't be considered halachically stira, then she wouldn't become forbidden by just speaking to him in public. So what exactly is the Mishnah explaining that's considered a warning? What do I care that I don't care that he warned, though. We're talking about halachically a warning. So it sounds like that it's a valid warning, because if she would talk with him, then that would be considered stira. Yet v'hadur tani, but then the Mishnah right after then says that if she goes and violates his warning, and dibri imay, and she does speak with him, adain muteris lebeisa, she's still permitted to cohabit with him, who muteris lecha b'truma, and she's permitted to partake from truma. So ama dibri lav klumu, so we see that talking is nothing. So what is it? Is talking something problematic that he could warn her about, that if she does talk with him, she becomes forbidden, or not? So Abai explains nahachikama. And this is what the Mishnah is saying. When the Mishnah said in explanation, when it said, so what is kinah, and it started by saying Amar law, that wasn't yet explaining yet Ketzad Mekana law. Rather, there was two ideas that the Tanya of the Mishnah was saying, and it was saying as follows. If he tells her, so the Mishnah first asked the question, how does he warn her? So the Mishnah first opened up by saying, if he tells her, Al Tadabri, don't talk with that man, and Vidibra, and she does talk, or Al Tadabri, he tells her, don't talk with him, and Vinistra, and she actually violates what she had warned, what he had warned her regarding the not talking with him. And she actually even secluded herself with him. Or, altistri v'dibri imay. Or let's say he warns her, no, don't seclude yourself with that man. And she talks with him, meaning she talks with him after being warned by a real full-fledged kinoi of not secluding. And that is what the Tanya of the Mishnah opens up by saying, adayin, it's still, in either one of these two ways, she's still muteris lebeisa. She's still permitted to her husband muteris lecha b'truma, and she's permitted to partake from truma because you didn't have a full-fledged kinui and stira, because kinui has to be that you warned her regarding stira, and that she ended up doing a stira. In the, one of these two ways, either he didn't warn her regarding stira, just warned her regarding talking, or even if he did warn her regarding stira, but that's not what she ended up doing. She didn't seclude herself with him, she only spoke with him. But if she violated his warning regarding seclusion, for example, if let's say he told her, altistri, don't seclude yourself with this man, and nechnasa imoy lebesa seisa, that's what the Mishnah then concludes, an explanation of what is a valid kinoi, and then she goes and secludes herself with him in a private place, and b'shasa k'dei tuma, she delayed there the amount of time that she could be defiled, then asur lebesa, that's what the Mishnah was concluding by saying, that's a case when she'd be forbidden to her husband, v'asur alecha b'truma, and she'd be forbidden to partake from truma. Again, the reconciliation, the resolution of this Mishnah is by understanding that when the Mishnah opens up, Amar Lo wasn't yet explaining a valid kinoi, it was first saying what's not a valid kinoi. And then a valid kinoi is that he warns her regarding stira, and then she actually does stira. Now the Mishnah then said, as we quoted before, the emes, if the husband dies without any children, before the woman gets a chance to drink from the meisaita, then chaletzes. Then she gets chalitza by the her brother-in-law and not yibum. Asks the Gemara, Amai, why? Tisyabim nami yibumi, she should also be valid for the halacha of yibum. Why not? So Amar Rav Yisuf Amakra. Rav Yisuf says, no, the pasuk says in Devarim, which previously the pasuk had said, ki motzah ba'ervas davar, which if a husband finds out about his wife, something immoral, she's, let's say, had an illicit relationship with someone else. So on that, the pasuk says that he should divorce her, and v'yotza mebeisai, and she'll leave his house, v'halcha v'haysa l'shach, and then she could go ahead and marry another man. Now, the question is, why did the pasuk have to say this? In other words, if the pasuk was coming to say that she's now permitted to marry someone else because of the get krisis that her husband, who found out stuff that she's doing, so he divorced her, that she's allowed to go ahead and marry someone else now. So, and that is explains Rashi. So the pasuk should have just written v'yatsa mibeisa, so she leaves his house v'hoyselish, and now she can get married to a man. Why does it say that? Why does it say leish acher, to a different man? Rather, explains Rabbi Yosef, Le'ish acher v'loy liyavam, it's coming to say that this woman, the Saita, the one that there was an ervas davar by, she could go ahead and marry only another man and not the yavam. In other words, coming to exclude her yavam in the case where the husband didn't divorce her. Rather, it's a case of where he found by her ervas davar that she had done something inappropriate. And it's saying that if he found an ervas davar, so the pasuk is saying, so he should divorce her with the sefer krisis. But the pasuk is then saying, v'yatzmi beisai, when she leaves his house, in other words, whatever the situation is that she leaves his house, whether as the pasuk is proposing through divorce, or whether if the husband dies, if she wants to come ahead and marry someone else now, that's what the pasuk is saying, is that she could only marry le'ish acher, to a different man, and not to the yavam. Why? Because the yavam is not considered, quote, an acher, another, in regards to the marriage of this woman. The reason being is because, as we know, the halacha of yibum is, it comes, it's a transition, it's a transfer from the his brother's previous marriage, and that's actually where the zika of yibum comes from. So therefore, he's not considered an acher. So we see from this pasuk that a saita, when her husband dies without any children, before drinking the meisaita, there's no yibum. So on that, asks the Gemara, Amalei Abayis, Abayis says to Rav Yosef, El Miat, if that's the case, Sachalitza Namalei Tabay. So not only is there no Yibim, she shouldn't have to have Chalitza then. Because you're saying from the Pasuk, the way you're learning it up, is that there's an exemption over here. And that the Pasuk is saying that she's permitted only to another man when in whatever the situation is when she leaves her husband's house. Now, if you're saying that in the context when this Ervas Davar, she's not permitted to the Yavim, so it's like any woman which is exempted from Yibim, which is Eino el yibim, eino el chalitza, so there shouldn't be chalitza either. So Amalei, Rav Yisrael responded to Abaye, says no, because ilu isel abal, if the husband would have still been alive, miloi boy get, wouldn't he have needed a get? In other words, the pasuk says clearly when this, even when he finds the ervas davar by his wife, but it says v'kasav la sefer krisis, that he still needs to have a way of severing his relationship with her, which is through a get, even though there's ervas davar. So the Yavam, although yes, we're learning that he can't stay, the Yavam can't marry her because he's not an Acher, just like the husband can't stay married to her, but just like the Yavim takes the place of the Baal, and the Baal would have to divorce through a get, here also the Yavim, in his own way, he does his own get, which is what a chalitza is. Now, the Istam, there are those that say a different version of how what Rabbi Yosef had answered for the question of why is there no Yibim, only chalitza, that Rabbi Yosef said as follows. Rachmana Amar, the Torah says, v'yatzami beisai, that this woman that was doing things inappropriate immorally, so she leaves her husband's house, and then she goes and she marries another man. Now, the thing is that the Torah is telling the husband, commanding him, to divorce this woman from his house because he found an Erevas Davar, it's inappropriate to be married to such a woman. Now, why does the Torah tell him to divorce her? So that the Lelistri Lebesi, so that this woman shouldn't destroy his house. As the Gemara had said previously on Daf Gimel, Zenus Lebesa, immorality in the house, is Kikar Lashom Shem, it destroys the house. Now, so says Rav Yosef, Va'at Amr Tisyab Nam Yevumi, and you're saying that the brother-in-law, the one, his brother that died now without any children, he should have to go out and do Yibim? Of course not. Of course there's no Yibim. If the Torah is telling him to divorce this woman because of the destruction, how could the Torah come and command the brother-in-law now to go out and marry her? So Amalei Abayas, Abaya asked him, Rabbi Yosef, but if that's the case, Salacha loy tenase. So then she shouldn't be allowed to marry even someone else either. The loy tistri lebeise, that she shouldn't destroy his house. If this is an immoral woman, so how could the pasuk then allow her to marry someone else? So Amalei said to that, Rabbi Yisrael responded as we continue on top of Amar Alv, Mikara Minan La'alei, what do you think? We're imposing her on this other man to marry her? Bal Karche, against his will? What do you mean? By the Yavam, there's a mitzvah. And actually the mitzvah, the commandment of Yibim, takes precedence before the mitzvah of Chalitza. So that is what Rabbi Yisrael is saying. Logic dictates that we can't have a mitzvah of Yibim because this is someone that's going to destroy a house. Now, but however, regarding such a saita, you can't tell him that he should have to marry such a woman. Now, so obviously, says Rabbi Yosef, what we learn from the pasuk is that obviously he's forbidden to do yibum with her, because it's not possible to say that there should have to be yibum, and actually to the contrary, she's like an eishes ach, shaloi ben mokem mitzvah, there's no mitzvah here at all, and again, that's what we're explaining, that there is chalitza, because it's not any worse than what the husband is, where even though he's forbidden to her, Venitma says, she's forbidden, but he has to go ahead and give a get to divorce her. Here also, he has to do chalitza, but again, you can't say, another man, go ahead, you want to destroy your life? The Torah gives that option. Hu bachar to bachayim, but you can choose death. But here, how can we say that there's a mitzvah for the Yavim to have to do yibum with a woman, that why did the Torah say to the husband in the first place to divorce her? It's because he's a destroyer of his house. So too, you can't say that there would be a mitzvah of yibum for the Yavim.